Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil. The language of translation, and it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience, so they have this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding, and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others that I have seen, and grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com, or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, REDFORD, Michigan 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu wa jannatuhu. That is, the peace of God be upon you and His mercy and His blessings and His paradise. Today, the khutbah is entitled Comments on Al-Fatiha and the 10th of the Arabic forms. I have been going over the forms from 1 to 10, and today is the presentation briefly about the 10th form. So my intent is to whet your appetite. So let me begin now in the proper format of a khutbah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That is, the praises to Allah, the praises to Allah, the guardian, the evolver, cherisher, and sustainer of all the worlds. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah wa hamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah wa huwa al-aliyyul azim. That is, I bear witness that there's no deity but the one deity, God alone. And I bear witness that there's nothing like unto him. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. The peace and blessings be upon him forever and ever, and upon his companions, the righteous all. Amma ba'd. Almighty God is free from all imperfection. All the praise is due to the one deity. God is greater. There's no deity but God. God is greater than anything we can imagine or do. And there's no true power or might except what Allah gives. And he is the mighty, the exalted, the magnificent one. So I'd like to begin from going to the Surah 73, the first, I believe, five ayahs of this particular surah. And these particular ayahs that I'm about to recite were some of the earlier verses that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received. It's very important for you to know that the Quran was given in such a miraculous way, if you will. I don't like to use the word miracle, but let's say in a designed way or ordained way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is highly glorified and exalted, is he, that he didn't, that is, Muhammad didn't receive the Quran chapter by chapter. He received portions of this chapter, portions of other chapters, and we have to assume that God directed him and guided him as to where to put the various revelation or verses of revelation that he received piecemeal, that is, from time to time over a period of 23 years. So the scholars will tell you, and most of the people will tell you, and also from looking at the content of some of the verses, that this particular series of verses I'm about to recite were some of the earlier of the revelation. So I begin now. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhan muzammil. That is, O you who are folded in garments. And the report has it that Muhammad would put himself in a cloak or something like that because he had a desire to be warm, and apparently it was some kind of a pressing need for him to be warmed when he knew that revelation was coming. At least by saying that he was folded in garments, it must have been a situation where he did this. So Allah is addressing him directly. Yeah, you had. That's a double vocative, a double attention getter. If I say to you, yeah, that means, hey, yeah, Muhammad, yeah, Salima. I'm saying, oh, come back, or I got something to tell you of significance. But when Allah says, yeah, ayyuha, that's double significance. So, yeah, ayyuha, hal muzammil, kumil layla, pardon me, illa khalil. Stand the prayer. He's commanding Muhammad to stand the prayer by night, but not all night. So Muhammad was a being that wanted to be a bit imbalanced, and Allah had to check him and say, no, you can't be praying all night. The report has it that his feet would get sore at various times because of his praying on the floor for long periods of time, or a rug, or whatever area he was praying in. So God says to him, Nisfahu awinkhus minhu khalil. Half of the night, or a little less. Auzid alayhi barat Tilal Qur'an Tartil, or Tartilat, more completely, or a little more, and recite the Qur'an in slow, measured, rhythmic tones. So he's telling Muhammad, don't just run through the revelation, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but say it in rhythmic tones. Allow the message to sink into the spirit, into the soul. So that is a direction and a command that you and I should recite the Qur'an in slow, rhythmic tones. Praise be to Allah. And the last of the ayahs I want to open up this Qur'an with is, Inna sanuki alayka kawlan thakilan. That is, soon, that is, Muhammad is being told, soon shall we send down to you a weighty message. And from reading some of the commentary, it's reported that the weighty message that Allah was referring him to was Al-Fatiha. And Al-Fatiha is believed to be the first complete chapter, seven verses, that Muhammad received all at once. Al-Fatiha. So now we go to Al-Fatiha. And this Al-Fatiha, as most of us know who are Muslim, in fact, all of the Muslims know that this is the chapter that we recite most often in our prayer. In fact, we always say that if you have not recited Al-Fatiha in your prayers, the five ritual prayers, you have not prayed. That's one of the alleged reports of Muhammad stating that Al-Fatiha is the bare minimum that you and I should say in our prayers as far as surahs from the glorious Quran. So now we go to Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha is translated as the key, the opening, and also is translated as the victory. The victory. So these seven verses are very, very beautiful and very, very understood easily by Muslims and non-Muslims. In fact, if you listen to the content of it, you would probably say that this particular prayer does not offend the Christians, the Jews, or any people, and we should put the Al-Fatiha, inshallah, in the schools, if not just the Muslim schools, at least try to encourage the people to know that Muslims should be able to make their prayers in school, and as well, the non-Muslims should be able to pray in schools, because prayer helps. Consciousness and recognition of Allah or the Creator is a helpful thing in the schools. And, you know, many years ago, they took prayer out of the schools. And we want to, inshallah, bring prayer back into the schools. So now we have Al-Fatiha. And first thing, if I ask you a question, do you know Al-Fatiha? The Muslims have been around a long time. Say, yeah, I know Al-Fatiha. And then when you listen to them recite it, you know that they haven't taken the time to listen to a person who recites it correctly so that they can recite it as it should be recited. So I'm not the greatest of people who pronounce the glorious Quran, but I do make efforts to listen and to read the letters just as they have been set forth in this glorious Quran. So Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It's a rolling R. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. That is, with Allah's name, or with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Now, these are attributes of God. After saying, with the name of Allah, Allah means the one and only deity, and then he gives you some adjectives or some description of two of his attributes there. That is, Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor, meaning he is the one that gives all of the benefits to the whole of the creation, the plants, the water, the trees, the food, all of it is stemming from this Creator who is the one and only deity. Then Ar-Rahim, that is the merciful redeemer, meaning that he is the one that redeems and pardons and forgives and has mercy on his subjects over and over and over again. And I would like to add that it's saying to us that he gives all these benefits by being the merciful benefactor, and if we do not appreciate all of these benefits that he has given us, he is still Ar-Rahim. He is still merciful. And there's a wonderful portion of ayah in the Quran where Allah reveals, Kataba, that is, He ordained, ala Rabb, Kataba Rabbukum, pardon me, Kataba Rabbukum ala Nafsihi Arrahmata, that is, you all's Lord has written, has ordained upon His own self, His own nafs, what? The Al-Rahmah, the rule of mercy. So Allah, we know, is inclined toward mercy as opposed to punishment. But one of the telltale signs that you and I should remember is that the verbal root is Rahimah, Rahi, Rahimah. And Rahimah is denoting by being a kasra or an E on the middle letter that the idea of mercy has a temporal quality about it. So that is telling you and I that sometimes and at some point the mercy of God can run out on us. So what did we do? We should endeavor to appreciate the many benefits He has given us and try to follow the ordinances and the dictates of this glorious Quran, the blueprint for human life. So let me continue. The next ayah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You hear people sometimes say Alameen, but it's not Alameen, it's like you open up your mouth for the dentist. Or if you say that great boxer's name, Muhammad Ali, not Ali, but Ali. So this is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That is, the praise is to this one and only deity, the cherisher, the sustainer, the evolver, guardian evolver of all of the worlds and all of the systems of knowledge. This is a translation that Imam Waqi Muhammad added. All of the systems of knowledge. And why did he do that? Because alama means to know. Alima means to know. The verbal root alima means to know. So he's saying that he is the Rabb, that is the sustainer of all of the worlds and all the systems of knowledge, and you can't get any of it unless Allah allow you to get some of this knowledge. Praise be to God. And then, strikingly, those two attributes that I mentioned, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, I repeated in the third ayah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Again, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Maliki Yawmiddin. The master of the day of payback or the day of judgment. Deen means a debt that we owe. When we say what is our way of life, what is our religion, we say the word deen. And the word deen comes from dana, which means to owe a debt. So Allah is telling you and I clearly that we owe a debt to Him. We owe Him devotion and regard and appreciation. So again, Malik Yawmiddin. The next ayah, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Those I said nasta'in. It's not nasta'in. It's nasta'in. Again, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Translated, you exclusively do we worship, and you exclusively do we ask or seek help. Now you might say, well, we ask other people, human beings, to help us and whatnot. Yes, that's true, but we want it to be known that Allah wants us to seek the help of those who regard Him. And inshallah, we'll be in a situation where we don't have to kiss up to anybody to get help. In fact, we know that's the situation right now in the political arena where people are kissing up to Trump because they don't want to lose their jobs, they don't want to use their senatorial positions, and so on and so forth, and they know that this so-called president has mesmerized many people, and as they say on a regular basis, he has gotten them to drink the Kool-Aid, and I believe it was grape Kool-Aid that Jim Jones had his people to consume. So we could say that they're drinking any kind of Kool-Aid he offered to them just because of material needs and desire to be in power. So again, it's very important to note that when I say na'budu, there's not a fathah on that ayin, if you know something about Arabic. So if you said na'a, then you have said it incorrectly, and I know that I've heard this many, many times over the years where the imams lead the salah, and they say na'a. But there's a sukoon on that ayin, so you have to make an abrupt stop. Na'budu. Wa'iyyaka nasta'in. And one note I'd like to add to you, I recall being in the class with my professor, Dr. Abdul Munam Shaka, out of Egypt. He was here in Detroit, Michigan some years ago, and he taught us Arabic. And he was telling us that the word iyaka has the meaning of to be aware of something, or to beware of something, to be cautious about something. And so he mentioned the example, iyaka al-kadhibu, translated, beware of the liar. So you should take this idea of beware, that is B-E-W-A-R-E, and put it into this particular translation of iyaka, and say, beware of what we worship. Beware of what or who we ask for help. And so you know as well as I know that human beings throughout time have worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars, fire, human beings, etc. And so you and I should be aware that our devotion and our worship is exclusively only to the Rabbil Alameen, that is the Lord of all of the worlds and all of the systems of knowledge. And continuing, Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim. Now hear me well on that. Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim. Now notice, I said Nas. Why did I say Nas Siratal? Because we have Ihdina, meaning guide us, but because of the power of the sword being a what we call a voluminous letter having volume, I changed the sound of the na to na. So that's why you heard me say, Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim. Generally translated, show us the straight way. Some say, guide us to the straight way. So it's almost like we're commanding God to do this or do that for me. So some will soften it and say, please show us the straight way. Please guide us to the straight way. And I heard a professor, or I should say a Sheikh Ali, mention that perhaps we could translate it as, please keep us on the straight way. Mustaqim, the straight way. And very interesting, if you go into the Hans Weir Dictionary and you look under the verbal root, kama, or kayama, and you'll find, or kawama, I believe it is, you'll find that the word mustaqim is a straight line, and it's used in geometry that way. A mustaqim is a straight line. So we know that we want to be as straight as we can before Allah, and we know that we cannot be like a perfectly straight line, but we know that is the focus, to try to get better and better and get more straight as we continue to live this life. And inshallah, go to the next life. So, mustaqim. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Show us and keep us on the straight way. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. The way of those on whom you have bestowed your favor, your grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and not of those whose portion is wrath, nor of those who go astray. Darling. And I must mention to you that we have a translation of the Noble Quran, a translation by some people where they're trying to accuse the Christians as being referred to as the Darling, those who went astray. But we know that Muslims have went astray Jews that went astray. So it's very error-filled that they would translate Darlene as the Christians. But it literally means those who miss the mark, those who go astray from what God would have us to be about. In fact, that Noble Quran was banned from some of the prisons in America because of some of the translation that was obviously and openly incorrect. So, that's Al-Fatiha. Now, I mentioned to you that I was going to talk about the tenth form. And I can say to you that you should recognize that whenever there's a tenth form verb, you usually have a sin followed by a ta in front of the Arabic verbal or noun root. Mustaqim. So that's the tenth form. So you might ask the question, why did Allah put mustaqim there in the tenth form? Well, from studying these verb forms, we come to know that the tenth form has something to do with requesting something and also receiving something. So when we say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, we are humbly requesting from God to help us to be about being on the straight way. Mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Amin. Now, if you notice, I mentioned daw and I said it real long. And the reason why is because we have put into the beauty of the recitation of the Quran what we call a medda. And a medda means to make something long and stretch it out, elongate it. So we elongate that daw. Darling. And this language is called Lugatut Daw, the language of the daw. And it's reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that he is the one that is most eloquent, in speaking the language of the Dawd. Lugatut Dawd. Very, very unusual sound. And the only word that I know of in Arab, in English that has that sound is daughter. Daw. Daughter. Daw as in daughter. So I wanted to mention to you, too, that in this particular Al-Fatiha, we have a fourth form verb, an'amta. So this is talking about you and I asking Allah to cause us, because the fourth form has something to do with being caused to do something, cause us to be favored by thy grace. An'amta. An'amta. Not amta, but it's amta. That you have favored. You want to be on the path that God, I want to be on the path that God has favored and giving blessings to. And amta. So he's putting it in the fourth form, meaning that you and I want him to be the causer of us being on this path that he has favored. So going back now to the tenth form, I mentioned to you that it means to request something. But this is so beautiful, knowing that not only is it saying that to request something, that you want to request this guidance and you want to receive it from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both meanings are implied there, that we want to be blessed to receive this message of guidance and cause ourselves to be there as much as possible throughout our lives. Praise be to God, the cherished and sustainer of all of the worlds. So now let me give you another example of the tenth form verb. It means also to imagine something. So here in the ayah we have here, and when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, the angels prostrated, but Iblis, he refused and imagined slash thought himself to be great. Or istakbara, that's the word that's used, istakbara. So you hear the sin, the S and the T together, and you hear kabara at the end. So kabara means to be great. So when we put the aleph and the sin and the ta before the K, B, and the R, it means to imagine greatness. So Allah is saying to Iblis, He imagined himself to be great, but he's not great. He's arrogant. We translate the word mustakbirun as the arrogant ones. Mustakbirun. Meme with a dhamma, S with a sukun, tat, mustak, and a ba with a kasra, B, a ra with a kasra, a yat to lengthen it, re, and then the noon. Mustakbirina, that is a group of arrogant, haughty people who imagine themselves to be great. And that's shaitan. And we know from what our president has been doing, he's one of the mustakbirun also, because he imagines himself to be great and has some claim to the presidency, and he doesn't have the qualifications, the moral fiber, or the intellectual ability to be in that particular position. So there are many people who are part of the mustakbirun, those who imagine themselves to be great. So you can see the richness of this tenth form. It means to imagine something. It means to request something sometimes, receive something sometimes, and it also has the idea of declaring something and to use something to your own advantage. So God willing, next week I'm going to show you some of the ayahs in the Quran where it's talking about the tenth form being used in the way of using something to your advantage. But suffice it to say to you today that the basic meaning of the tenth form is to receive something, to request something, to imagine something. Praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of all of the worlds. That is Rabbil Alameen. So I hope you will take the time to listen on the internet to some of the great reciters of the Quran, like Abd al-Basit from Egypt and Husari and some of the others, and get your al-Fatiha right. And that goes for the imams and also the people who profess to be Muslim. If I were to talk to you give you some bad English, you would laugh at me. And so know that people who know Arabic, they are laughing at you when you try to say al-Fatiha and you say it in an incorrect way and you butcher this often said surah of the glorious Quran that is said in our prayers on a daily basis. So get al-Fatiha right. So I'm going to recite it one more time, and I hope that you could have access to this tape and also listen to others that could recite much better than myself. Again, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين Now, let me go to the second surah of the glorious Quran called Al-Baqarah, or the heifer. And we know at one time back in the day, when a person would want to give a real derogatory comment to a woman, say, you heifer, it's like today they say you be, right? Or biatch. Now, some of the time they use that word. But at any rate, a heifer, I believe, is a female cow, if I'm not mistaken. So let me continue here. This chapter is called Al-Baqarah, as I mentioned, and it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And then it begins with the letters Aleph Lam Mim. These are three letters, and it's considered the first verse of this particular chapter 2. So if you look at the footnotes, you'll see that they try to suggest to you in some of the footnotes or some of the commentaries that Aleph Lam Mim is a reference to I, Allah, is the best knower, or Allah is the best knower. So we know that knowing something, the word begins with a ayin. So I dismiss that as being the meaning of these so-called mystical letters. So let me share this with you. It's a very important thing for you to know. That is, that if you were to count up, you say, well, why is it important, what I'm about to say? Just think of the beauty of it when you really reflect upon it. If you were to count up the number of Alephs, Lambs, and Memes, or you can say A's, L's, and M's in this particular Surah Al-Baqarah, which has 286 verses, there are 9,899 Aleph, Lam, Memes if you added them all together. And it is a multiple of 19. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's, in fact, let me get it, if you would just bear with me, because I did write it down before I came on the air, and I didn't really, but I had it, oh, I have it now, praise be to God. I'm being a little informal here, so pardon me. Yes, 521 times 19 is 9,899. So you say Muhammad wrote this book, and he got all these 20-something chapters of the Quran that begin with various letters, and there are multiples of 19. I mentioned to you some weeks ago that we have 133 noons in the chapter 68. It's a multiple of 19. The surah which follows this is called Ali Imran, the family of Imran. It has 5,662 Aleph, Lam, and Memes, 19 times 298. Multiple, again, of 19. 298 times 19 is 5,662. So I'm saying this to you from the standpoint that the person that came with these mathematical exactness observances from this Quran, he is misaligned or aligned as being a person who was not a Muslim because he attacked, you know, different aspects of our traditions. But we always like to say the mathematics don't lie. And so I believe that the message that he brought is precise, and you have to deal, if you don't believe he was permitted by God to come up with this, you have to deal with his character and his personality and all of that. Now, speaking of the man by the name of Rashad Khalifa, he was Egyptian. And one last thing I'll say about him, as I continue this particular talk, is that his name, Rashad Khalifa, if you take the numerical value of those Arabic letters and divide it by 19, it comes out even 2. And he did not name himself. Praise be to Allah. So know that these letters has to do with the idea of multiples of 19. In each chapter of the Quran that you see, there has letters prefacing the chapters. If you were to divide them by 19, after you do a sum of the letters, it comes out even every time. Praise be to Allah, the cherished and sustainer of all the worlds. So Muhammad was not a mathematician. Muhammad received this revelation into his heart, and he was able to have it written down and keep it protected by Allah himself. Allah is the protector of this Quran. He says, we are the ones who revealed it, and we are the ones to protect it, that is, this glorious Quran, from any add-ins or take-outs. Praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. So remember that. Aleph, Lam, Mim. These letters have to do, at least, with the idea of a multiple of 19. Now, I believe it's a proof that this book came from the Lord of all the worlds, El Khaliq, the Creator. So after it says that, it says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book. In it is guidance sure, without doubt, to those who have reverence for the Creator, those who acknowledge that this universe that we look at was designed and ordered by a power that deserves our obeisance and our worship. And the more and more you and I study the sciences and study the creation, that more and more we should be convinced that this Creator is El Alim, the All-Knowing. He's El Basir, the All-Seeing. And we know that He has caused the eagle to have vision that he can see 2 miles away. He has put a fish in the ocean, a little small fish that has a white fluid that it exudes out of his mouth that can paralyze the jaws of the shark. So all of these kinds of things, if you study them, you will find, and I will find, that this Al-Musawwir, that is this designer, is a perfect designer. Praise be to Allah, the cherished and sustainer of all of the worlds and all of the systems of knowledge. I keep saying that to you. I like to say it. Rabbil Alameen. Again, the cherished and sustainer of all of the worlds. So I encourage you to establish salah, establish prayer in your life, and encourage others to do so. And I mentioned in a previous talk that by us putting our foreheads to the floor, it causes the blood that is in our heads to go all the way to the frontal lobe and into this area here, fill this area up. And this area right here is where the conscious brain activity is. So if you get a nice blow in that area, you will have a hard time being really coherent in your consciousness. But this area right above the nose is the conscious brain activity. And you know it from your own instinctual nature that Allah has put in you. That if you are in a situation where you're trying to remember something, your hand has a tendency to go here, or at least your thoughts have a tendency to go right there into the area there, and they got a saying, let it come to the fore, like come to the front, where you can remember something. So when you and I go into our daily activities, there's a lot of electrostatic energy that is in the brain, and it sometimes lodges in this area right here, and we feel dis-ease and whatnot. So when we make our salah and we put our heads to the floor, the blood rushes into that area and it causes the electrostatic energy to be dissipated. And when you get up out of the prayer, you feel like you're taking a mental bath, like you take a physical bath. So we know that this prayer is not just to be something that we do just to be doing it. We do this because it has therapeutic value to us. It gives us energy and life. And as many times that I'll be on the verge of wanting to go to sleep. I get up and I make my Isha prayer, and I might stay up 5 or 6 hours after making the last of the prayers. And we know that we have 5 prayers, the Fajr prayer, the morning prayer, the noontime prayer, the afternoon prayer, the sunset prayer, and the prayer at night about 2 hours after the sun sets. So I would encourage you, as I encourage myself again, to be a prayer to Allah and one who looks to the Creator for guidance and assistance. So as we approach this U.S. holiday, Thanksgiving, I'd like to give you the attribute of Allah, the attribute of the Creator. I like to say this to people many times. Ash-Shakur. And they translate it so beautifully as the one who is ready to appreciate service. As Shakur. But he owes no thanks. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Our Lord, cause not our hearts to swerve or deviate after you've guided us aright, but bestow upon us mercy from your presence, for surely you are the grandest of the givers. Allahumma nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natawakkalu alayka wa nafni alayka al-qayr wa nashkuruka wa la nafuruka. O Allah, we ask for your help, we ask for your forgiveness, we believe in you, we trust in you, and we extol and exalt you in the best manner. And we are thankful to you, Allah, and we are not ungrateful. Praise be to God. I want to say a few more things about this 19 formula. I recall some years ago, I talked about this, and I was brought to the carpet of a Detroit masjid for even mentioning what I had mentioned, because a lot of people say that that's numerology for you to talk about this 19 multiple stuff, you know. And when you get a chance, I'll make it real simple for you. Go to chapter 50 of the Quran and look for the Kaf. And the Kaf has two dots over the top. There's only two letters that have two dots on the top, the Ta and the Kaf. And the Kaf has kind of like a loop. So you should be able to recognize it if you don't know Arabic. So if you count all of the Kafs in that particular chapter, there's 57 of them, and 19 times 3 is 57. So I'm a free man in the land, and I have a right to express myself, especially in this Facebook venue. So I don't have to be worried about being called to the carpet. And I thank Allah for this this medium of exchange here on Facebook and also Blog Talk Radio. I'm on Blog Talk Radio station IWDM on Tuesdays at 7:30, and this particular program is being aired right now on Al Islam in Focus, blogtalkradio.com. So I thank Allah for this opportunity to speak to you today, and I say to you from the core of my heart, not the bottom of my heart, may Allah continue to bless you. In fact, I could give you the beautiful Arabic phrase that I saw from what we call Wright Grammar, which is a good grammar book, Wright apostrophe S. It says in there, La yazalullahu muksinan ilaykum. That is, may God, may the Creator, never stop being muksinan to you all. So I close with that, and I give you the warmest of greetings that I know of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu wa jannatuhu. That is, may the peace of God be upon you and His mercy and His blessings and His paradise.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication, that has been produced, and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So they have, yeah. This is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system. Our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding, and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's S-I-D-D-E-Q, at msn.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.